seat. Have a seat. Wow. Wow. Have a seat. Sit on down. Sit down. You know, all that was made possible because of Jesus died on an old rugged cross. Every bit of that. If you love people and you love seeing people make it to the next level, then that's what this one's all about. I was leading the ladies of the Lord 2 weeks ago in a laundromat and walked in and handed her a track and felt like I needed to do a little bit of soul winning before church on Sunday night. And so I said, ma'am, I'm on my way to church. I just thought I'd stop in here and led her all the way down through the plan of salvation. And I started adding something to my plan here recently. And I started talking about family. I started talking about the fact when you get born again, you're born into a big family.
Amen.
Big family.
Amen.
She looked at me with tears coming down her eyes. She said, I've never had a family. And I said, well, ma'am, you just got born into a pretty big family. And she came to church last Sunday, and when she walked in the door, a lady came up and said, I'm so glad you're here. And then without any prompting, she said, welcome to our family. The tears just started coming down her face. And when you sang that song, it was like, oh, I wish you could be here to hear it. So, Dan, you're going to have to send me a link so I can give it to her, because she will absolutely enjoy that. Man, my heart's full right now. I would say, let's pray and go home, but that would not happen in a Baptist church. Now, if I said, let's pray and take up our third offering, that would happen in a Baptist church. And I met Jeremy, which is your son. Is that right? Jeremy's sitting right over there. And so we kind of sat out in the foyer and we were talking. And so I told him I was going to explain the birth order to you people because I don't think that you understand it. Now, my mother is all about the temperaments. Okay, y'all listen to me. That's a bunch of junk. Okay, I've rejected it when I was growing up because she kept trying to tag me with, well, you're phlegmatic, pragmatic, sanguine, choleric, or septic, or whatever you are. And I was like, Mom, that is nothing but a crutch for you to let my siblings get away with murder. Well, you know, you got to be sensitive, and that's junk. But I do believe in the birth order. I've come up with my own explanation about the birth order. Like, for instance, if you are the oldest, you are stinking bossy. You think you're in control, and you think that you can tell everybody what to do. How many are the oldest? You still think Mama left you in charge, and ma'am, you're 65,000 years old. I am 49 years old. My sister is 50. She still thinks she's in charge. Because she'll call and say, are you okay? Did you eat today? Do you need anything? It's like, shut up. You are my older sister. That's it. So if you're old, you're bossy. That's all there is to it. You think it's your way or the highway because you're it. You know, you're all that in a bag of chips. So if you're the youngest, you're a spoiled brat. What are you? Spoiled brat. Can I tell you, when you all were growing up, you're the youngest. Here's how it went. When you said, Mom, your mother didn't ask you if you were hurt, if you were hungry, or something. No, you know what your mama said? Put them down. It was like, we didn't even touch them. They just cry wolf to get their, can I vent for a little bit? Then Mama got tired of whooping the rest of us. And when she got to the younger one, it was like, well, you know, I'll ease up. That's wrong. That's wrong. They get their way. They're spoiled brat. How many are the oldest? Raise your hand. You're bossy. How many are the youngest? You're spoiled brats. And you know it. There's 4.5, 5 years between Scott and I. And then the Texas heat. Man, I'd be out there and, you know, 14-year-old mowing in Texas heat. Daddy had me out there mowing. Scott's in the front window drinking iced tea and just spoiled brats. Do you know who the only perfect people are in the entire world? It's the middle people. God made perfection when he said, I got to have somebody bossy and I got to have somebody spoiled. And then he took us middle people and made us on the front of that seesaw. We just kind of surf through life. We are the peacemakers. We clean up all the mess. We keep the youngest from getting whooped up on. And we keep the oldest from thinking they're in charge. So now, do you want my philosophy about an only child? How many are only children? You're schizo. All right, so here we go. Because you are all three at different moments.
Explain why my kids say what they say to me then.
Ma'am, we got a place for people like you. And it's called Anchor Baptist Church. And nobody's an orphan here. And you're not a schizo. You're not an orphan. Okay, here we go. Straight jackets. All right, here we go. Go to the book of Acts, if you will, Acts chapter 11, and thank you all very much. I'm sporting my anchor cufflinks, I would like for you all to know, right there. I am officially anchored eyes. In fact, I got a tattoo right there just of an anchor. But Abby and Jordan were coming through, and they gave me anchor, and I've worn those on special occasions, and I thought, this is one of those special occasions. And so I thank you very much for my anchor cufflinks. I hear they make anchor Mercedes now, and so it was just like, you know, that's how that goes. And never mind. But anyway, and I want to give a special hello to Mrs. Usher, and to let her know I miss you. If for years when I first started coming here, Brother and Miss Usher became very special people in my life. And it's good to see your husband sitting right back here. He got drunk in the hallway, but other than that, he's okay. But I fall in love with the Ushers through the years, and I'm praying for you, and I love you, and I'll be over tonight after the service for apple pie. No, pecan. I'll bring my own pie. So there you go. So Acts chapter 11, and it's a joy to be here with Brother Jenkins, and him and I guess are like chiropractors, because we preach several meetings together and through the years, and it's like we just adjust you, and not our fault you walk out sore. You know, whenever the doctor, you know, starts swiveling your head and then he like that, that's exactly what's happening in preaching. It's like, don't let that smile fool you, No. He's going to jerk you. You'll get fixed. You just may be a little sore, but you'll get fixed. So anyways, Acts chapter 11, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look into your word and we look and we let it take us on a journey. Lord, at no time are we to manipulate the word to fit a pet thought, but we are just to get in the car and let you take us on a journey in your word. Lord, my job is to simply lay down a bunt, get the first base, and that's it. And then Brother Jenkins is going to come and take us all home to the house and love on you more. Lord, last night was you did something in our hearts. And we know that. This morning during Brother Jenkins' sermon, Lord, you did something in my heart. And God, I'm anticipating great things tonight. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 11. The more that I live, the more I realized my responsibility to the young people around me. I know this is primarily Anchor Baptist Church. And by the way, it's good to have Brother Combest, Joe, and the Anchor delegation. And that's their trio behind them. And then, of course, Ryan and Sharon. Sharon was a teenager in our church. And so I know all of her sins, but I can't talk because she knows all of mine. And so it's just a mutual admiration society. And I'm still having a hard time watching Ryan and Sharon hold hands. That baby's really throwing me right now the more I live, and I'm by no means as old as my grandfather back here, but I will tell you that the more that I live, the more I understand my responsibility toward the young people around me. The more I understand that it does take a village to raise a child, and it does take a church atmosphere, the right atmosphere, to make sure that our children can grow up to where they have a healthy outlook on God and what God wants for them. But before you think that you're on an island and you have no responsibility, that's a lie. If you are a member of this church or you are a member of a Baptist church someplace, then my friend, on the dotted line, you signed up for the long haul and you signed up to be a spiritual influence on people. I wish that somebody years ago would have taught me what I'm getting ready to teach you. I wish God would have let me see this in the scripture like he did about 2 years ago. Acts chapter 11, verse 27. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. Acts 11, 28. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Getting ready to look at the dynamic duo of the New Testament here in the book of Acts. Look at it. Which also they did, and sent it, talking about this collection that they made for the saints that were in poverty, which they did, sent it to the elders by the hand of who? Barnabas and who?
Saul.
I want you to tuck that away in your mind. We now find the introduction of this great missionary duo, Barnabas and Saul. Now, the scriptures take us on a detour in chapter 12, and we now go to verse number 7. We now find that the scripture now leaves Barnabas and Saul, and the scripture now through the Holy Ghost starts focusing on Peter being locked up. But something significant here that I want you to carry with you, look at verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came, talking about Peter, he came to the house of who? Mary, the mother of who? Please put that in the back of your head. Whose surname was?
Mark.
Where many were gathered together, what?
Praying.
Put that in the back of your head. So far in the back of your mind, you have the fact that there is a man named John, and his surname was Mark, and his mama's house was the house that was praying. It was a house of prayer to get Peter out of jail. Come all the way to the end of chapter 12. Now God turns the focus back to the dynamic duo. Look at chapter 12 and verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Verse 25. And Barnabas and who?
Saul
returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them who?
John,
whose surname was what? So here we have this dynamic duo that was on a errand of mercy, a peacekeeping mission, if you will, and they sent relief. They took it, they gave it. On their way back, obviously they went by mama's house and they picked up this young man named who? John Mark. John Mark is just trying to hang out with these superheroes of the New Testament. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers of Barnabas, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod, the tetrarch, and who?
Saul.
As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. Look at this. And they had also who?
John
to their what?
Ministry.
Now let's back up a little bit. Barnabas and Saul, they come onto the scene. They now are in charge of sending relief. By the way, Saul is a new convert. We don't really know specific time frame in the chapters here, but we do know that Barnabas went to pick up Saul. They now are taking relief and they're taking aid. And now they stop by John Mark's house, pick up John Mark from Mary. They now come back to Antioch. The church now says, hey, Barnabas and Saul, the Holy Ghost says, separate them and let's get them out for the work of the ministry. This whole time since they left Jerusalem, guess what was happening? There was a young man hanging out with them called John Mark. All of a sudden, We get into chapter 13, look at verse number 6. I'm sorry, in verse number 6. And when they had gone through the isles of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, which thou hast not ceased to pervert the right ways for the Lord. Behold, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. Immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So far, this is a pretty incredible ride. And so far, John Mark has been standing there taking in this whole thing. This whole thing, John Mark has just been letting it rest in who he is. Ladies and gentlemen, we get to verse 13, and which is the text verse for tonight. Look at it. So far, John Mark has been with them when they were sent out in the ordination service. John Mark was there when all of a sudden Saul got turned to Paul and his eyes focused down and he heard Paul take a tone he had never heard Paul take. They're dealing with sorcerers. They're dealing with wizardry. And you can say what you want to, but if you have never experienced the occult, then you have no idea the fear it can bring into the heart of a person. I won't go into it, but I've only experienced it one time, and that's the last time I want anything to do with that dark side. But I will tell you this, here's John Mark. And John Mark, all of a sudden, in verse number 13, look at it. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, what is the next word, please? Departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. When Paul and Barnabas leave Paphos and arrive in Perga, something happens to John. With no indication, the scripture doesn't tell us he sought permission. It just simply says he departed. If you are a student of maps or if you like maps, I'm not going to tell you to go look it up right now, but maybe if you have maps in the back of your Bible, you can find one that does it justice. When he left Perga to go to Jerusalem, Cyprus is a little island in the middle of a sea. Perga, he had to go around, and this is the next fact I want you to stick in the back of your head, along with Mary, his mother, being at the house of prayer in Jerusalem, that you're going to find out John Mark had to travel through some cities, a young man, not a veteran, but had to travel through these cities to make it back to Jerusalem. The Bible says he departed. This one verse caused problems in the relationship with Barnabas and Paul. Let's fast forward to Acts 15:36. Acts 15:36, and we are doing great on time because by the time I get to this point, I'm only 2 hours from landing. All right, so here we go. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. I'm kidding. But if I cut short and I underdeliver, overpromise, underdeliver, you're going to love me. And Acts 15:36. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas, look at it, determined to take with him who? John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Now let's stop right here. The New Testament begins to focus on Paul and Silas and does not focus on Barnabas and John Mark. However, do not negate the fact that they were not doing the work of God. The Bible just chose at this point to take the focus and put it over on Paul and Silas and not Barnabas and John Mark. Very interesting here. Barnabas said, John Mark's ready to give it another shot. Paul said, I ain't taking him. Barnabas said, listen to me. We got to take him. And Paul, in essence, and I'm paraphrasing right now and trying to just get into the mind of the story, Paul probably said, the only reason you want to take him because you're related to him. So it doesn't make any difference. I think he's ready to go with us. Paul said, I ain't taking him. He departed. He quit us, and he wouldn't go to the work. And I'm not taking him. I'm not taking him at all. Something very interesting here, if you go back to Acts 13, verse 13, and I've preached it like other people have preached it through the years. John Mark was a quitter. John Mark didn't want to work. John Mark was a mama's boy. But look at what the scripture says and what it does not say. It simply says that John Mark departing. Y'all, for you and I even to ascribe that John Mark was a quitter is an injustice. All it says is he departed. And I think in churches all across America, we have confused departing with forsaking. Go to 2 Timothy 4:10. And I wonder how much damage inadvertently, I don't think anybody does damage to young people on purpose, but I wonder how much damage has been done. Look at 2 Timothy 4:10. This is Paul at the end of his life. Look what he's saying. And we'll come back to the scripture. For Demas hath what? Forsaking me, having loved this what? Oh my. Can I tell you, be honest with you, that it is very easy if we are not careful. If I can use you two guys on the front row right there with you two guys, come here. It is very easy, Anchor, in whatever church that you happen to be. Come on, hurry, stand on either side. And there you go. Stand on either side. It is very easy to associate a John Mark who departs and goes sit there with, sit down in the chair, with a Demas, who just go down the stand by Brother Adam, who goes to the world. How you deal with these two will make the difference on your future. The reason we don't have second and third generations that are ready to take over our churches is because we... Can't you understand redneck sign language? You want to know why? Because we know what to do with the people who depart to the world. We've preached them plenty of sermons. But we don't even have a clue. Have a seat. How do we handle the John Marks who just don't want to go with us, listen to this, on our journey? I'm the pastor of the Longview Baptist Temple. I'm a 30-year veteran. Y'all, listen to me. I can go until I drop. And I get it. I get it that there are young people in our church that when they hit their 18 and 20 and 21-year-olds, that they want to go party like the devil. I get that. But for years, I didn't know how to handle the John Marks.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And I made the same mistake with the John Marks. And I lumped the two together.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
And I said, you don't love God, and you're a stinking quitter. When Paul's writing this at the end of his life, you see, listen to me. John Marks remember their interaction with a spiritual leader and a church that just because they couldn't keep up the pace spiritually, that maybe a spiritual leader in the church said, well, you're no good. Y'all, I'll be the first one to raise both my hands, and if I could get my feet in the air at the same time, I would look like a freak. But if I could get my feet in the air at the same time, I would be the first one to tell you that there are dead bodies because of these hands and because of this stinking mouth that I didn't know how to deal with them properly. That's a whole nother sermon, but I had no idea how to deal with them. Because look at the end of Paul's life. Can you just see this letter coming in? And come up here. Can you stay. I feel like a traffic cop. Can you imagine the letter coming in, and letters don't come like we get them today through email. Can you imagine the letter coming in and somebody saying, hey, we got a letter from Paul? The mere mention of Paul's name, John Mark lived with this thought. He doesn't like me. He thought I was a quitter. In fact, it was so sharp over me that it cost Paul his first assistant pastor. John Mark did not forget. And I'm headed somewhere and I'll be done. All of a sudden, they get a letter. Got a letter from Paul. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Hey, John Mark, he even puts you in his letter. Only Luke is with me. Look what he said. Take Mark and bring him with thee. Look at that. Look at that. For he is profitable to me for the ministry. Here's the sermon. I'm not waiting till I'm an old man to let the John Marks know they're profitable. Y'all, I'm not waiting till the end of my ministry before I understand what the John Marks are all about. Because I don't want them living one day thinking in any way that their pastor and their friend doesn't think that they're profitable. My job as a pastor is to make sure every John Mark knows you may not be able to go at my speed, and you may not be able to have the stamina or the boldness to do what I do, but I'm going to let you know this. You are very valuable to me.
Amen.
Very valuable. How old are you? Voice still changing? And if I had you right now finish the rest of my sermon, the notes are right there. Y'all, right now that heart's like, hold it. But how many times have we entered into a public display of, what's wrong with you? Don't you love the Lord? Well, you're never going to amount to anything. If you can't write, he's scared half to death just standing up here. But I will tell you this. If we don't recognize the difference between Demas's and John Mark's, we not only lose the Demas's, but then we have no John Mark's. And it takes a church to raise the John Mark's. Y'all, 30 years. And I wish I could go back. Oh God, I wish I could go back. I may receive some blessings, but I think I'm going to receive a stern look from my Savior. What were you thinking? You're supposed to be a pastor of my own heart. Did you forget? I'm going to ask you tonight to change your attitude about the John Marks who just want to hang out with you, but they don't want to fight the devils right now. And they're not up to fighting sorcerers. And they really don't have what it takes to bear down on somebody. I'll give you a couple of observations and I'm done. Number one, are you scared half to death? Okay. Would you much rather have a seat there or down there?
It doesn't matter.
It does. Which one would you rather? Okay, go ahead. I'm going to give you several thoughts I hope that transform you tonight. Regardless of how you view John Marks, don't be disillusioned. You'll always have John Marks. And how you deal with your John Marks today will be the difference between the church moving on tomorrow. Number one, God's always taking you to a new level, not your John Marks. God's always taking you to a new level, but not your John Marks. In fact, I want you to Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Did they separate Saul and Barnabas and John Mark? No. You know who the church commission was given to? Two men. Oh, well, that's four. Two men. That was it. That was it. Brother Connor, come on. We're going to be Barnabas and Saul. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hang on. Hang on just a second. I need to get the John look.
Not even close.
I'm not even close? Yeah. Can I tell you? The church separated Barnabas and Saul. And all that happened. Come here, John Mark. You're not done yet. Come here. And all John Mark wanted to do was, is your mama here? Where's your mama? You claim him? Okay. Sister, scoot over because he's coming back to you. Keep going unless you want him to hug you. Look at. Yeah, no, not yet. You want to go hug her that bad? All right. Just follow up. So here, the dynamic duo, we pick him up. He goes with us to Antioch. The church says, you're going out to do God's will. Then all of a sudden, we get to this level here. Step up one step. Get behind us. Tail in behind us. And we're like, all right. We met a sorcerer. Okay, now we got to do business. Listen to me. God took Saul because look at verse number 9. Then Saul, who is also called what? Paul. Last time he's called Saul. First time he's called Paul. And the name sticks with him. You listen to me. God did something in Saul's life that he was not ready to do in John Mark's life. And for whatever reason, God took the dynamic duo to a level that John Mark said, I don't think I want to do church work that. Yeah. That scares me. Y'all, I can go hours on Saturday. John Marks can't. Y'all, I can stand up and literally break into a song. When Brother Bell got up here last night, that was so disorganized, I loved it. That's not the anchor way, sir. The anchor way is you stand in a straight line, you go up and down together. Oh, no, you had to break the anchor way because you stood over here. Once I drifted out of sin. Then it's like George and the Doo-Wops. I mean, come on. And he's like up here. Then he had his partner, his posse, his homeboy. Yes. Singing. And I'm sitting there going, that's not the anchor way. And to me, it wouldn't even bother me a bit. I'd run right up here and sing with them. But would you run up and sing with them? He's about ready to cry right now, y'all. But sometimes, isn't it our mindset? How come you're not operating on my level? Isn't it true? Well, how come you young men aren't saying amen? Their voice is changing. Amen. Number two, it's like, where do you jump in a sermon? Because invariably everybody said amen at the wrong time. Are you with me, men? Invariably, somebody said it at the wrong time. Or when you do get brave to sing, the song leader cuts it short, but you didn't see him. And you're the only idiot still lingering out there. How great thou art. And there's, and you go, are. Hey, God's taking you to a level that he's not taking your John Marks. The second thing I want to thank you guys, have a seat, but you're coming back. All right. The second thing I want to tell you is this. Are you ready? I love the scripture. Look at 13:13. Where did he go? Where did he go? Acts 13:13. He went where? Jerusalem. Y'all, if you look at your map, from Perga to Jerusalem, he passed through some pretty, pretty horrifically lewd, vice-filled cities, but the young man never stopped in them. He just simply said, I'm not going to that level. So I think I'll just go back to mama's house. Mama's house. Oh, he's a mama's boy. Oh, wait a minute now. Mama's house? You mean where they pray all night? You mean mama's house? Where they saw an answer to prayer of incredible proportions? That house? Oh, so he didn't go get drunk. That house. Oh, so he didn't go be immoral. Oh, you're talking that house. Oh, he wasn't the prodigal? Oh, you're talking about that house. And how many times have we taken the John Marks because they didn't want to go with us on our journey, and we made them the prodigal, and we made them the harlot, and we made them that person, when all they wanted to do was get a Bible, sit on the front row, and just hang out. But anytime a kid goes to mama's, something's got to be good. Y'all, I'm going to ask you as a church, oh, listen to me. If they haven't walked out those back doors and they're still coming to church and they're still bringing the Bible, get your mouth off of them. Get your put away your judge's robe and gavel and just understand. They're John Marks. That's all they are. They just want to hang out. You just graduated from high school, didn't you? This is a pretty big deal for you to be in the choir, isn't it? And if we had you sing a solo right now, you know what that grin says? You do, and I'll hit you. But I promise you, you didn't start out in the choir, did you? No. You probably started out by just hanging out. Just hanging out. Hey, are we okay with giving God time to work on the John Marks? You know what it is, don't you? We want them to do our job for us so we can be lazy. Rather than just going, you're John Mark, hang out. I'm not expecting you. I'll fight the devils. I'll take on the sorcerers. I'll take on the Sergius Pauluses. I can do this. You just hang out. But notice where he went. I got to figure it this way. If they're still coming to church with their Bibles, sitting on the front row, this is good. This is good. Acts 15:39, please. Acts 15:39. And the contention was so sharp between them, and they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark. The next thought I want to give you is this. Don't be upset with the Barnabases who believe in the Marks. So don't view us as compromisers when we say, hey, why don't you come hang out with me? Well, he won't talk at the door. I had a mama come up to me, and I didn't check with her to see if I could use this. I had a mama come up to me Sunday night, Brother Bell, after our teacher's meeting. And she said, can I explain my son to you? And I said, sure. He said, you know why he doesn't go soul winning? Beautiful basketball player. He doesn't go because he doesn't know how to do this. I said, he doesn't know how to do this, Mom? With all due respect, you were a teenager here. She goes, Brother Bob, that's not fair. And I said, you know what? You're right. What can I do? Just let them hang out with you. Y'all, it is so ingrained in us that sometimes if we don't really watch ourselves, even me, my knee-jerk reaction is to, well, I don't understand. You're raised. You're born in the nursery. By the way, that's an ugly thought. You were born in the nursery. You're raised here. Don't you know any better? Oh, you listen to me. Just because you have knowledge doesn't mean that you have behavior. And just because you know does not mean that you can put it into practice.
Right, that's right.
And I looked at that mom and I said, let him come hang out with me. He said, no, he won't pass out a track. And he won't talk to people because he's scared half to death. I said, that's okay. Just have him come hang out. But don't be upset with a church member or all of a sudden you see a John Mark, he's a quitter. He's a quitter. Everybody needs to know he's a quitter. And I don't know what that compromiser's doing. And I know what the argument was with Paul. It had to be. Well, you're just related. Oh. Isn't that what family's supposed to do?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
Are we not brothers and sisters in Christ? Aren't we supposed to take under our wings and say, you'll be fine. No pressure. Hang out. Because God's going to do a work. Last thing's this. 2 Timothy 4:11. I want you to circle one word, if you will. 2 Timothy 4:11. I'm going to have you write down a statement. 2 Timothy 4:11. Look at it. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee. For he is what?
Profitable
to me for the ministry. They've always been profitable. It just is not their time. And that's what you have to understand. They've always been profitable. If I could shout to Paul in heaven, it would be this. Paul, John Mark was always profitable. It just wasn't his time. It wasn't time for him to step up. But Barnabas saw something in John Mark that said, no, listen to me. John Mark departed, and John Mark went back to Mama's house so that John Mark could just kind of mature a little bit. But he stayed in the house of prayer. He stayed where prayers were being. He stayed in the center of spiritual activity. He's ready. I don't want to wait to the end of my life before I recognize value in people. And I don't want to end up an old man and have to write a letter back to people and go, you know, I blew it when you were young. You were a good kid. You're a good kid. But I thought you were a quitter. And I want to apologize. What is better, to apologize as an old deathbed confession or to while you have the John Marks with you? Were you out there splitting wood today?
Yeah.
That kid was out there splitting wood today. How many hours you spend out there? Oh, for old people, that's a lot. 2 hours splitting wood. Then what are you doing in church tonight? Very good. But isn't that our attitude? You listen to me. If somebody doesn't take this John Mark and say, you're valuable, Doc. When I saw you come in, most grown men are sitting at home right now when they should be here. And they're copping out by watching on live stream. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. Thanks for hanging out, guys. Thanks for being on the front row. Thanks. I know your parents probably made you sit there, but thanks for obeying. When are we going to change our attitude? Well, because they can't contribute, then they're of no value. Are you serious? I'm going to end with this one thought. I want to make sure by the time I die that all the John Marks around me knew your pastor thought you were valuable.
Yes.
Amen.
Somebody would ask me, what is the highlight of my Sundays? You know what it is? Not dinner. That was close. The highlight of my Sundays is when handshaking starts and I get to come down to this side of the platform and all the little kids come up and they shake my hand and they tell me stupid jokes. What did the horse say when it fell down? I've fallen and I can't giddy up. What do you call a boomerang that doesn't come back? A stick. Oh yeah, this is great. Why did the chicken cross the road? Why? To get to the other side. Now that may not be funny, but I'm sitting there rolling and it's like, hey, look at our shoes. Our shoes are about to get ready to come out. You know, I was reaching down the other day and a kid reached up and took his hands and touched the holy of holies. Y'all, if you touch that, the cone of silence is broken. And the hair like that. But I'll stand down there and we will joke and we will goof off. I don't even know how it got started, but I'm going to tell you right now. That's the highlight of my day. I never want to pass somebody walking through church and ignore them. I am not going to be that kind of pastor. And I am not going to be that kind of pastor. To where I wipe my feet on the lives of people who are not measuring up. Because I want all of us to remember back when we were John Marks. Scared, Brother Adam, half to stinking death. And somebody just let us hang out. Praise God for the Barnabases in our life. Don't be a Paul that you at the end of your life have to write a letter. Tell them now. You're valuable. They're not quitting on you. They're just not ready to go to your level.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
On Saturday, I rotate and pick up 2 and 3 teenagers. Take them with me. After about an hour, they're like, ah. I was like, you ready to go home? Yes. It's been a good day. Been a long one. And I just laughed because I got 15 more visits to make, and they're like you do this all day. And I was like, yeah, isn't this cool? Yeah, we've been to 2 houses, and I got to go home. And I pull up and drop them off, and they're like, that was great. Can I go with you next week? You know what I say? No, you stinking quitter, because you can't stay out all 8 hours. I don't need your kind around me. We need workers for the Lord. No. I'll be back next week to pick you up for your enduring long hour. Okay. I am quitting on this one. I pulled my truck up in front of the house. We had to walk through a gate to get to a trailer. And the teenage guy said, that's a long ways. And I looked at him, I said, I think we'll survive. He goes, all right. We went to the visit, got back in the truck. He said, I'm thirsty. Okay, let's go get something to drink. Y'all, what better way to spend? Because at the end of the day, what are they going to remember? What you did or who you were. Think about all your Sunday school teachers. Did you remember what they said to you, or did you remember who they were to you? Y'all, let's be the Barnabases. God bless you.